You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It's Thursday, November 15th. Ethan here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at eturnerff_pt. You can find the main page for this show on Twitter at ff_247. If you're new with us here today for the first time, I want to thank you for checking out the show. Make sure that you're subscribed on iTunes because we are dropping brand new episodes every Monday through Thursday, every single week during the NFL season. Before we get into tonight's episode, don't forget to get entered to win our signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame Edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Make sure that you leave your Twitter handle or email on your review so that we can get in touch with the winner when we give this bad boy away. Well, we have a great show today, guys. We're going to go through our Thursday night preview as always, as well as starts and sits, and of course, the last injury update of the week. As always, on Thursday, we have got a guest, and this week I am joined by the target guru himself, Jody Smith. You can find Jody on Twitter at JodySmithNFL. You can also find all of his great work on fantasypros.com and over at CBS Sports. Jody, how are we doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, man. I was going to ask if I could be eligible to win that Earl Campbell jersey because, you know, as an old school Houston guy and an Oilers fan, that was my team. And ever since they left for Tennessee 20 years ago, I've kind of been without a team. So anything that can give me an opportunity to go back and remember the glory days of all those terrible losses from my team of my youth, I'm always excited to be able to get something like that.
Well, you are always welcome to leave a rate and review. And we'll definitely hit you up if you win, man. So we're going to get into tonight's game here. Obviously, a big matchup here. The 4-4-1 Packers go to Seattle to face the 4-5 Seahawks. Obviously, both of these teams are looking to get a win in this one. Jody, let's talk quarterbacks first here. And oh, man, this game is bringing us some star power here. Aaron Rodgers coming into the game. He's thrown 17 touchdowns, just one pick on the year. He's doing what he does, man. I mean, this is him. He is one of the best in the league, obviously. And I think he was hampered a little bit with the knee earlier this year, but he's currently sitting at QB9 on the season in terms of fantasy. On the other side, you've got Russell Wilson, who is having a great season, despite pretty much nothing to work with in terms of that offense. Jody, obviously the listeners here are going to be starting both of these guys this week, but if you had to pick one, who do you think you're going to be rolling out there in fantasy?
Well, you're going to stick with who's been working for you because most likely you spent a pretty good early investment to have acquired either one of these guys, and you've probably been rolling with them. So now it's getting kind of close to the playoffs, so now it's not the time to get cute and get playing with things. I personally actually have them rated back-to-back, so to me, it's kind of a coin flip in this game. I'm looking at the team. Seattle's given up the fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. They've given up 14 touchdowns. Green Bay, surprisingly, right up there with them, the eighth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, and they're also have given up 14 touchdowns. So it's pretty even. Looking at the dynamic of it being a short rest week with Green Bay traveling, gives a little bit of an edge for Russell Wilson. He's got 2+ touchdowns in every home game this season. Rodgers, little slow in his last couple of games away from Green Bay. So, like I said, I'm not going to tell anyone to sit Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure no one here is in a position where they've got the luxury of deciding, hey, I'll just sit Aaron Rodgers unless I got lucky and drafted Patrick Mahomes as their QB2. And if that's the case, then they've been starting him every week anyway. So, you know, stick with what's been working here for you. Like I said, I see them as relatively even. I have them ranked 8th and 9th for the week with slight nod to Aaron Rodgers for the better supporting cast and more upside. But like I said, there's a couple of things I look at that make me lean towards Wilson too. So like I said, really a proverbial coin flip.
Yeah, it doesn't get much closer than these two guys. I think Wilson's QB 14 on the year, but still that rushing production always is going to keep him in, and being at home helps as well, as you said. On to the running backs here. Aaron Jones coming off that monster game against Miami, racked up 172 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Obviously a big influence in that game in Miami. Even though Miami's not a great defense, still looking at Aaron Jones as being a guy that starting to break out here. You know, Rodgers has even come out of his way even to say that they want to get more touches to go into Jones's hands. Jody, do you think that Jones keeps it up this week?
Yeah, most likely. You know, this is another victory for fantasy football Twitter, because every once in a while, you know, we'll get one right where it's just a head scratching situation for Mike McCarthy, where he continued to refuse to accept that Aaron Jones was the better talent that we all saw last year. Even going back to last season, you know, Aaron Jones was averaging 5-6 yards a carry, and then he missed a little bit of time with a knee injury, and then he came back. Jamal Williams stayed kind of as the bell cow back at the end of last year. So unfortunately, personally, I kind of bought into that, and you know, I own more Jamal Williams, unfortunately, than Aaron Jones this year. But I do think, you know, when you're looking, you look over the last three games, he's went from a 62% snap rate, you know, and he got a season high 42 snaps last week, which is 74%. He had 152 total yards on, I think it was 18 touches, while Jamal Williams, 3 touches, 3 yards. Over his last three games, you know, he's been from 13 snaps all and then 14 snaps last week. I think McCarthy has finally seen the error of his ways. And yes, I expect Jones to, you know, remain as their lead back probably for the rest of the season as long as he stays healthy. And the key and best development that we've seen over the last week or so is that he's staying on the field in red zone situations for the most part. Definitely a thumbs up. It's not the best. It's not the best matchup. Seattle, even though they've got a completely rebuilt defense, they've been 12th against fantasy football running backs. However, last couple of games, they've given up 100 plus yards back to back weeks. And they came against Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley. You're talking about elite running backs. Jones kind of flashed a little bit of that elite type of potential. So this is the kind of situation where I expect, as long as he gets up there, that 65-75% snap share, yeah, he's got a chance of approaching triple digits in this game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think at this point, you kind of have to start him. And you definitely weren't alone. This offseason, I saw a lot of Jamal Williams love. And It was one of those things where I almost think that we were overthinking it a little bit. Aaron Jones was clearly the better talent last season, but for whatever reason, like you said, Mike McCarthy just loves him some Jamal Williams. Now, on the other side here, you've got the trio. I call this the deadly trio in Seattle, because basically I can never tell which one's going to play. And honestly, whichever one I pick, it's not him. So Rashad Penny, Mike Davis, and returning this week, Chris Carson. I don't really think there's been a harder backfield to predict this season, but we know that someone here is going to have a big game. Who do you think it is and why?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there that hates fantasy football backfields more than Mike McCarthy, it's Pete Carroll, who has been one of the most frustrating coaches to try to figure out on a week-to-week basis. I mean, even last week, all of us were on Mike Davis, and it was Rashad Penny who ended up putting up the star numbers. And now this week with Chris Carson coming back, my personal expectation is that he's going to get in there, and he's going to probably take more than 50% of the touches. So that's going to reduce Rashad Penny, possibly from a star 100-yard rusher at his first touchdown last week, back down to a minuscule role this week. It's a situation where, given the opportunity, I would rather just bow out on it and not try to predict. But in this particular game, Packers vulnerable against the run. They've given up 121 rushing yards per game, and they've given up 8 rushing touchdowns alone to running backs. So they're, like you mentioned, there's some appeal here. And if I'm having to guess, it's going to be Carson. He's fully healthy now. He's been back practicing in full. So my numbers that I've punched in, I have Carson at between 50% and 60% of the snaps, which is what he averaged between weeks 3 and 9 when he was fully healthy and kind of in command of the backfield. So that's my expectations early. If, you know, forced to choose, rather than go with a hot hand and Penny, I'm going to go with Carson, who's been a little bit more consistent and, to me, offers a little bit more upside. Pretty good matchup here.
I tend to agree with that assumption, because to me, Chris Carson's been the guy that they go to when he is healthy, and knowing that he's practicing in full and getting ready for this game here, I just feel like they're going to go back to that well again as long as he is healthy. Next up here, we've got wide receivers, and of course, everyone's going to be starting Devontae Adams. At this point, he's a must-start everywhere with that touchdown upside, but are you rolling with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, knowing that Randall Cobb is expected to miss this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Valdez-Scantling, look back, dating back to week 5, he's pretty much played about 90% of the snaps for the Packers. So this is not a new development for him. It's just an issue of him moving from the outside into the slot when Cobb is out of the lineup, and Cobb didn't even make the trip. So we know for sure that he's obviously not playing. That's going to put him in a really, really good position. Out of the slot, it's going to be matched up with Justin Coleman, Seattle slot corner, who Pro Football Focus has rated 88th in their cornerback rake. So you're talking about a really, really good matchup for him. And like I said, dating back to week five. He's gotten all that playing time, and he's actually been a pretty, pretty good receiver. And he's someone that I'm happy that I've owned in some of my leagues. And most of the time he wasn't even drafted. So he's been a nice little plug and play. And you'll think you'll see St. Brown play on the outside spot opposite of Devontae Adams. And that's going to put him in line to be covered by Shaquille Griffin. So all in all, it's a fairly good matchup for Green Bay's offense. But like we hit on at the top of the show with, it's not a bad defense. It's good matchups for Green Bay's receivers, but on a short rest week, I'm not going out of my way to get these guys in my lineup, but I do like MVS. Like I said, he's getting all that playing time and he offers definitely some PPR appeal.
All right, we're going to compare two guys here, obviously on Seattle's side, Doug Baldwin or Tyler Lockett. Who do you want in PPR? Baldwin was the incumbent. Everyone expected a huge year out of him. He gets hurt, hasn't really shown a ton of promise, but has kind of been getting healthy here in the last few weeks. Tyler Lockett, on the other hand, he's been playing well, deceptively well, based on the relative lack of hype that I've seen. Which one of these guys do you like?
I'm going to lean with Lockett, but I have a funny feeling that Doug Baldwin's about to get healthy. I don't know what it is. There's nothing that I see in this lineup in particular. The matchup is a really good one for Baldwin this week because he's going to be matched up with Bashaud Breeland because Green Bay is going to be without Kevin King, who didn't even make this trip. So King's missing with a hamstring injury. It's going to put Baldwin in a really, really good coverage against Breeland. But at the same time, Baldwin, he just hasn't looked right all year. I know he missed some time earlier this season. But you're looking at it, he's got a career low 12 yards per catch at this point. It's a little bit of concern. Like he just went from a really, really consistent great receiver to all of a sudden he's at times this season, it just looked like just another guy. Whereas Lockett, 7 touchdowns, I mean, on 33 catches, it's not a rate that you expect him to continue, but he's averaging close to 15 yards a catch. He's been, a really, really consistent threat in the red zone. He's been someone that's plugged in. So if I'm forced to choose, I'm going to go with the upside that Lockett offers. But like I said, I got the funny feeling that Baldwin's finally about to break out, and this is a really good matchup for him to finally produce that first touchdown of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he is getting healthy. And obviously, once he's healthy, I think he can become a real weapon in PPR for the stretch run here into the playoffs. All right, last up here, tight end position. Obviously, the guys we need to talk about here, Jimmy Graham and Nick Vannett. Not a lot of production coming out of tight ends across the league this year, but which one of these guys do you think has the bigger night?
Well, this is a situation you'd rather avoid because you look at it. You look at Nick Vannett, and he has 1 catch in 2 of his last 3 games. But then you look at Jimmy Graham, and guess what? He's got 1 catch in 2 out of his last 3 games as well. The thing with Vannett, he's got a little bit more momentum here because he's actually scored in back-to-back games, whereas Graham led the NFL last year with 26 red zone targets. This year, only 8. Kind of saw that coming because Green Bay just doesn't use their tight ends near as much as what Russell Wilson was doing last year. You got a little bit of that revenge game narrative with Graham. Neither guy really, to me, has a lot of ceiling in this particular matchup. Both defenses are pretty respectable, but Graham's seen a significantly larger amount of playing time. So, I'm going to lean him in this particular matchup and maybe the hashtag revenge game narrative comes to play a little bit here. I it's not something that I put a lot of validity into, but Vannett doesn't offer much upside, whereas Graham, at least you think when you plug Jimmy Graham in your lineup, hey, at least I've got a tight end one.
At this point, you're really just taking any production you can get, and whichever one of these guys scores a touchdown, if they do, probably a top 8 tight end.
Well, really, it's been such a disastrous year for tight ends overall that if you've got a Jimmy Graham in your lineup, you're just plugging him in every week and saying, well, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Jody's going to give us his starts and sits for the week. All right, heading into our starts and sits for week 11. Jody, who are a few guys that you are locking into your lineups this week?
Well, I'm eyeballing this Dallas game. I'm really, really interested in Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper pairing up. Looking at this Falcons defense, I mean, we've all been taking advantage of that quite often this year. They've given up the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers and 14 touchdowns, which is 3rd most. All of us have probably been paying attention to Amari Cooper. He's looked like a really, really rejuvenated player when he's been with Dallas. He's running these really, really crisp routes, and he's almost completely evenly splitting all of his time between the left, the right, and the slot. That's going to allow the Cowboys to get him in good positions to manipulate Atlanta's banged-up secondary. Desmond Trufant, ranked 68th, Robert Alford ranks 107th. Brian Poole, slot corner, ranks 70th. These are all grades via Pro Football Focus. These are all potential mismatches for Amari Cooper. And how about Prescott? He's looked really, really good even before Cooper arrived in Dallas. Looking back at his last four games, Prescott has 9 touchdowns and only 1 interception. He's got a couple of top 10 fantasy quarterback weeks in the last month in Atlanta. They've given up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 21 touchdown passes, which is second most. So this is the kind of situation where I really expect the Cowboys to keep the positive momentum going in this particular matchup. And, you know, obviously Zeke Elliott is going to be a lock and load starter. But, you know, if I've got Prescott, I've been riding him, or maybe I need a bye week fill-in. I'm really interested in him this week.
Agree. I think that offense has totally changed with Amari Cooper. Like you said, Prescott had been playing a little bit better, but you had a guy like Amari Cooper who gets a ton of separation on those routes, and you pair him with a guy like Prescott who tends to be pretty accurate when he's on, and he's definitely on right now. I think that's a great pairing. Who's another guy that you have here that you're locking into your lineups?
Deion Lewis. I don't want to overreact to Derrick Henry. A lot of people are assuming that he's going to start taking a bigger piece of the puzzle there, but what we have is a lot of us saw this coming, where Bill Belichick was just going to slow down Deion Lewis at whatever he had to do, and it worked. But this is actually a really good matchup where I expect Lewis to bounce back against the Colts. They've been the 10th worst fantasy defense against running backs. While they've done a good job against the run, they have allowed the second most receptions to running backs and the third most catches to the position. So this is the kind of game script that's going to certainly favor Lewis to bounce back. He's a guy that I have in my top 15 in my week 11 ranking. So while Henry is, you know, obviously going to be there as a potential goal line option where he's actually looked respectable, much to my chagrin, Deion Lewis, much better running back overall. And he's somebody that I expect to actually have a really good week.
I think Lewis showed the 2 weeks before this week that they're starting to learn how to use him appropriately. And I think you're right. I think Derrick Henry is, you know, obviously he's put together a couple of good weeks here, but a lot of that is due to game script and things like that. You know, they were up big for most of that game against New England. And Deion Lewis is the pass catching back. You know, we expect to see more Derrick Henry in those kinds of games. I think we go back to Deion Lewis kind of being the guy there. Moving on to your sits for the week, who are a couple guys that you are absolutely staying away from?
Well, we mentioned tight end's been really, really problematic this year. So you're starting Kyle Rudolph most likely every week, but this is not a very good matchup for him. I'm not expecting a very good result. Even in a down year, Kyle Rudolph is still only 13th at tight ends. He's only got 34 catches and 2 touchdowns here. And here we are entering week 11. Bears been really, really good against position. They rank 10th against tight ends. Rudolph hasn't topped 50 yards since week 4. And he hasn't scored since week 3. Kirk Cousins just continues to throw well over half of his passes to Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and who could blame him? But it's come at the expense of Rudolph. And, you know, like I said, I understand that it's been a disastrous year overall for tight end. But my numbers don't favor, you know, a breakout for him this week.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that one as well. I just think that the matchup is not good for him. I think they're going to have to throw. But like you said, if they're throwing, it's to Thielen, it's to Diggs. Rudolph may get some looks in the red zone. But outside of that, you're really just hoping for a touchdown, and they're not using him the way that you would like to see. Who's another guy that you're not starting this week?
A couple of wide receiver ones that I'm pretty low on this week. Allen Robinson. Robinson's going to face shadow coverage from Xavier Rhodes, which is never a good thing. But the Vikings secondary was struggled a little bit early in this year. They gave up touchdowns to Davante Adams, and they gave up 4 touchdowns to the Rams. But since they got blown out in that particular game, they've done a really good job. They shut down Larry Fitzgerald. They shut down Alshon Jeffrey, and they held Michael Thomas to 5 catches and 81 yards. They kept him out of the end zone, and they kept the entire Lions receiving core blanketed pretty well. Allen Robinson coming off his best game of the year. People are going to, you know, overreact him a little bit. I'm not necessarily saying that he's not wide receiver 3 worthy. I just don't have him rated that high this week. And hopefully no one's continuing to trot out Devin Funchess, who, while he is a team wide receiver 1, and it's a respectable team in the Panthers, Funchess has basically disappeared now that Greg Olsen has returned to the lineup. Olsen has 20 catches, 225 yards, and 3 touchdowns over the last 3 games, while Funchess has 10 catches, 103 yards. Over that time, he's wide receiver 53. He's even behind Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore on his own team over that same span. So at this point, while he's a wide receiver one, you can't trust Devin Funches anymore. So he has, to me, he has no, even in a respectable matchup against the Lions, I just don't want any part of him, not even as a wide receiver four or a flex option.
I love both those choices. I think Allen Robinson's perfectly set up for a trap game where you finally think that you can start him. And then, of course, he's going to go up against one of the best defenses against number one wide receivers in the league. And then with Funches, yeah, I agree with you. Obviously, he is the wide receiver one in name, I guess, on that team. But there's probably three or four guys that could see more targets than him on any given week. And I just think that whenever Greg Olsen's in there, he's shown that Funches just does not get the target volume that you want to see in a guy that you are starting for fantasy. All right, man. Well, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Always a pleasure getting to sit down and talk some fantasy football. Jody, where can the 24/7 family go to find your work?
Well, like you mentioned at the top of the show, you can find my weekly analysis of every target at fantasypros.com. And I'm also contributing to CBS and CBS Sportsline each week.
Awesome, man. Well, again, thank you for coming on. Really enjoyed it. Good luck with your fantasy matchups this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
On to the injuries. We are going to start with a few guys who are trending upwards. James Conner left the game last Thursday with a concussion. He practiced in full on Wednesday and should be a full go for Sunday's game against Jacksonville, a defense that's given up over 20 points in each of its last five games. Stephon Diggs was also a full participant in practice on Wednesday. You'll remember that he actually missed Week 9's matchup due to a rib injury. It appears that he will play this week, though it is against a very good Bears defense. His teammate, Adam Thielen, on the other hand, is dealing with injuries to both his calf and low back. He only got a limited practice in, and it's worth noting that he did have a down game by his standards before the bye week due to this injury. He's one I'll definitely be keeping a close eye on, but I do still expect him to play this week. Marvin Jones is dealing with a knee injury that I mentioned on Tuesday's show. He was cleared with an MRI, but he does still have a bone bruise. He is not practicing, which could indicate that this is still severe enough for him to warrant missing Sunday's game. I personally doubt that he plays this week. That would leave Kenny Galladay and Theo Riddick as the main pass catchers left in that offense. That was absolutely decimated by the Bears last week. Joe Flacco still isn't practicing, and it does seem like this hip injury that's kind of come out of nowhere hasn't made any big improvements after the bye week. That opens the door for rookie Lamar Jackson to get his first start of the season, but I would not rule out veteran Robert Griffin III, who could also see significant snaps this week if the team decides that Lamar Jackson is not ready for a full-time starting role, something to kind of monitor heading into the week in two quarterback leagues. AJ Green didn't return to practice, and I really honestly don't expect him to return this week playing. He's still dealing with this mysterious foot injury. There's still not a lot of info coming out on this, but it appears that this could be something that keeps him out for quite a while. A big blow this late in the fantasy season is obviously a lot of teams were riding AJ Green as their wide receiver one. One name to look out for in the coming weeks is Deontay Foreman, who actually was cleared to return to practice this week. Foreman was eating into Lamar Miller's workload last season before an Achilles rupture ended his year. He does have a full 21 days to practice before the team has to decide on what they plan on doing him for this season. I honestly don't expect him back before December, but it's at least worth noting that he is back practicing and appears to be on the upswing. Chris Thompson, on the other hand, has still not returned to practice with a rib injury. Unlikely that we see him back this week. I'm really not expecting a whole lot out of this offense. Royce Freeman and Deshaun Hamilton both got limited practices in on Wednesday. I'd be looking for one or both of these guys to suit up this week against the Chargers, which could put a little bit of damper on Philip Lindsay's love. The only downside with this, of course, is that they will likely be running into returning Joey Bosa on the other side for the Chargers. Bosa has been dealing with a foot injury that's kept him out all of season. Clearly, it's a welcome sight for Chargers fans heading into the weekend. Well, that is it. We're going to wrap this show up. As always, make sure you follow me on Twitter for your daily injury updates at eturnerff_pt. Make sure you're following the main show page at ff_247. I want to thank Jody Smith for coming on to the show today. Go give him a follow as well at Jody Smith NFL. For Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, Ethan Turner signing off.